No? Not everybody? Yeah. So, may we start? Good morning still. My name is Sergio Lifshitz. I'm going to talk about hypothetical indexes and basically about this. And then at the end, I'm going to talk about self-tuning issues in Postgres. Okay? I've just learned that there are many ways to say Postgres SQL. And anyway, I just say Postgres. I hope you understand. So first, I need to relax a little bit. You know, just it's not easy for me to come up here in front and speak in English. I come from some place, interesting place now, hot place. I come from Brazil, Rio, Catholic University of Rio. So this is in down below, South America. We have the World Cup for soccer 2014, the Olympic Games 2016. Some of you maybe have heard about it. I'm working in a private university, but we do a lot of research. It's one of the top universities in Brazilian ranking. Especially for computer sciences. We have some projects, and maybe you have heard also about the Lua language. Maybe it's an open source, and Jenga is another open source language for HDTV, IPTV. I have some, if it works. Maybe you've heard about Lua. This was made and built in my university, in group of programming languages. Now, very recently, they have embedded Lua too. This is all open source projects. Jenga is and Jenga NCL is one of the standards for IPTV, HDTV, and we've done lots of things there. And maybe you've heard. Let's go back to the presentation. And then, also we do some database stuff. This is my group there, research group. I don't do that much developing. But we have lots of things doing with Postgres, SQL, and self-star or self-tuning issues. So, main motivation for our work. This has been a work for more than 10 years now. We started with Postgres SQL 7, and I had two or three students by the time, only Master of Science. Now I have some PhD candidates too. And we had a motivation, a simple motivation, okay? For example, anyone working with any database, real database, you get some kind of workload with a insert and a select query. Nothing really difficult here. And you check all these queries and many multiple queries you can have. And the question is, what are the best indexes or indexes we have for an application that uses these commands? So an expert or a DBA that knows everything about the system may take a look and say, okay, you know, maybe I need an index for the dates, and maybe the not a secondary index, a kind of bitmap index. You know, you can do many different types of search and research on what's the best actual index configuration for this for such an application. Okay, actually, don't ask me the answer for this question. We never know. It depends on many things about, you know, statistics and catalog. You know, we don't know the actual answer. But the thing is, I would like to know it, okay? And it seems like today, it seems like a simple question. It should be a simple question, okay? The basic idea is a DBA should be working in things, in difficult things, not in very simple things like creating index or dropping index or maybe reindexing. I'm not saying this is simple, but it can be simple, okay? So I have the question is, so I'm looking for query performances, and maybe some of you also have heard about the question if indexes help, really help. And yes, they do help. They help for when you need to check for a specific tuples in your database. And some people say indexes are bad for updates, right? Sometimes you read about it, but this is quite wrong. If you have an insert or an update for a single tuple in a database, if you don't have an index, you never reach it. Okay? So sometimes you have to take care about what you say, what we use for structures that help us working with databases for real. The index selection problem is for those that are look like the academic issues. It's an NP-hard problem, so it's easy to find the good index selection. Okay, for simple cases, okay, but not for general cases where you have many and multiple tables. So sometimes it's very good to have the what-if queries. So we try one index, you try another one, you try things. And if you feel like it's okay, it's a good time to create it, just do it, and then you have a time to try and test. The thing is that this time, we about more than 10 years ago, we have heard about the people working with self-tuning approaches and autonomous approaches, depends on where the group comes from. And we started to think about this. So the first thing wanted to do is to look for what these people do. And these people started with the hypothetical indexes. Just to maybe cite some of the projects we know, at IBM, they have the DB2 Advisor. Microsoft Research, they have the DTA, now I think is ADTA, the new name. It's not anymore 2005, the last version is 2008. Oracle also, they have the 1010G, 11G, they have the DDM system. For Postgres, maybe some people here can correct me, but as far as I know, the closest thing we have for self-start approaches is the auto vacuum. We can talk about this later if someone wants to tell me some news. And ongoing work, I really don't know. I've checked, double-checked before coming, and so far I didn't see that many people working on this for the Postgres community. So down there, my group, we work with local and global self-tuning. Local, for example, for these approaches regarding index creation and like small things, small structures, and locally trying to improve performances. Global self-tuning is when you care about, okay, maybe you create an index there and then all the other queries become slower, so you have to care about the whole system. We have created some heuristics. The one we have published more is the one called Benefits Heuristics. And we also recently, like the last 2 or 3 years, we have worked with non-intrusive approaches where we do all the optimization work outside the system. Okay, so let's talk about hypothetical indexes. I'll go back to the website. Oh, finally, I forgot to show you, you have, this is the nice view of the city where I live. And then we have also the self-tuning group. This is the website. I put this URL at the end. You can download and see and check most of the work we've done so far. And in some places here, you can find a tutorial about this hypothetical index issue. And so I've opened this here. regarding problems with browsers, I have a PDF version, and I'm going to show you also something else in the following. But I'm going to first explain what's a hypothetical index, okay? The idea is it's like in any index, but the hypothetical index, it doesn't really exist. It's not persistent in the database. It just appears in the catalog, okay? So the idea is I want to tell the optimizer that there is some index there. So he can count on this index to maybe examine different plans to optimize some query, okay? But when he tries to really run the query, he cannot use it until I actually created this index, the hypothetical index. So it's not something we have invented. It's something already that existed for a long time in the academic world, at least, and also in all the other DBMS that you find around, like Oracle SQL and in others, SQL Server and DB2. So we try to do the same thing with Postgres, okay? Just to show you an idea, a very small database, okay? Like product and sale. There are some Portuguese words sometimes lost. And I have the idea to show how we can effectively use this hypothetical indexes. So I have I hope you can see this. Seems fine. So I have those two. Is it working? Yeah. So I couldn't bring everything I wanted to do to show here, but I have like a film that looking especially what we do there. Okay, you can download all this thing here also if you want. So I have just a single query like the other one. About on product and sales, and I just want to to run this query, as anyone would like to do. You have the results, and a few results, not that much. You don't have a big table, and then after, I want to see and explain on this query. Okay, just to check what's really going on. And see, maybe I can pause here quickly. There is a date restriction there, some time. And there's a value also restriction. And so far, I don't have any index. And when you see the explained query, you see a sequential scan, okay, a full scan on the plan, effective plan that was executed. So the idea now is, what about creating, and this is something we have built for Postgres, first for the version 7, now already for version 8, Venda is sales, and I'm going to create some index for value and data, okay, and date. So at this time, I have just created an index that is persistent in the database catalog, but it's not an actual index. I cannot use it to run the queries, okay? And the idea is, what I'm going to do is to first show that I still have, nothing has changed. So the sequential scan is still present. And now I'm going to show what happens when I do an explained hypothetical index, which for sure I want to know what happens with that hypothetical structure I've created. And then show you can have an index kernel. It means with that hypothetical index in the catalog, I would say the, I would be able to create, I would to offer the optimizer some structure that he didn't have before, and then he could get a better performance. Yes?
Is there any stat data on the hypothetical index?
Sorry?
Statistical data on the hypothetical index from the stat collector?
You mean about what?
Does it add rows to PG stats? Does it add rows to the PG stat table?
What you mean about the configuration, how it's created? Or,
no, how many tuples that's
Yeah, so I'm going to talk about this. I'm going to show you the difference of the actual and the hypothetical index, you mean?
Yep.
Okay, I'm going to talk about this later. It's later on the slides, okay? Okay, may I continue?
Yes.
And so, so now, when I do this, I saw I have a changed a sequential scan, and now I have an index scan, which usually is much better than a sequential scan. And so what I can do is just drop the hypothetical structure and actually create the index that I've tried with my what if query. Okay? So the whole idea is creating and dropping hypothetical structures doesn't cost anything. You just create another line on the catalog, so it costs nothing. You can do this as many times as you want. And then, actually, at the end, if when you do this what if queries, and at the end you say, okay, it's worth to create the index, you just drop the hypothetical one version and create it, the actual index. This sometimes may be costly, right? And then, at the end, so I can, again, what I can do at the end is to execute again the same query. Well, first, show that with the new explain, the actual explain of Postgres, it will show, it will give me about the same thing. Okay, so now it's for real. And, and then I think it's almost done. It is. Okay, so a little bit about the statistics, as people has asked. What happens is we didn't want to create an structure that seems to be very much better than the actual index I will be creating after. So what we do first, the first try we did is to give for the index the same size as the table has on the table I'm creating. So if it works, it's because it's really a good choice. Okay? But anyway, just maybe as the question came before I presented, I can say that one of my massive science students right now, they are exactly studying how to tune this index, hypothetical index data, so to be as close as much possible I can do to the real index. Okay, I will give you some data after. So just to show you some, these slides are available for you at the website I told you. So I just want to show you something about the costs. I have, oh, here, sorry. So I had a cost of this value here, 9779 with a sequential scan. And then I go through the hypothetical index, and I have like less than half. Okay? And this, the same value I will get with the actual index when I create it after. Actually, it was 4 something, right? And now it's 3.8 something. It's not exactly the same value when I have the actual index, because, well, it was hypothetical. I have to suggest some values for the structure that doesn't exist, really exist, okay? And exactly this is the work we are doing right now, is to try to fine-tune the actual values for hypothetical structures. Okay, so we can go back to the presentation. And so I hope everybody has understood what's about the hypothetical index. And how did we do it? This is a big issue. At the beginning, we didn't know how to do it, how to follow, like, you know, the good way to do it, okay? So the only thing we knew is we needed to have some distinction in the catalog about what kind of structure I have, if it's hypothetical or not hypothetical, okay? So the first thing we have to do is to add a column in the PG index, and that I give, and I say if it's true or false, if it's a hypothetical structure or not. Okay. So the idea is when it's false, when it's true, I mean for hypothetical, it means that the real explain for the optimizer, Postgres optimizer, doesn't consider this structure. Okay. I'm not gonna show everything here because this is kind of showing lots of lines of code. It's not that very interesting, but so we had to add for PG index schema. We had to add some hypothetical values, like we do for all the other index considerations. Okay. And we had to create, also change some of the parser syntax to accept the create hypothetical, the drop hypothetical, and what we wanted to do. So we just followed exactly what has in the code for actual index, and we just added some different aspects when considering hypothetical structures. Okay? It was not that easy. It took us maybe 2 or 3 years to have some good results at the end, but we could do it. For those that like developing for Postgres, these are all the modules we've changed. Number of files. So we had to touch something on parser issues. Optimizer issues, and all these parts of the code. Okay, for sure this is open. Also, everybody can take a look at the actual changes we've done at the our website. Someone so asked about the statistics. So we have tried some queries about with doing the explain hypothetical and creating hypothetical structures. For some point queries, for example, we created and we get the same estimation of the size of the hypothetical index, and the actual index is about the same. When we do some range and aggregation query, it's just nothing, almost the same size as in the estimation of the structures, about the same too. And only when we do some order, we were a bit far from the query. Okay, so it's okay. It gives us a good idea of how big and how useful an hypothetical index can become when it becomes when you do a create index, a real create index. So this is the first part, and my talk is about hypothetical index towards self-tuning. So this is the second part. So the first part, the obvious part, is, well, we use index actual hypothetical index to what-if queries, okay? This is already useful. I know many friends of mine, DBAs that work with PostgreSQL in Brazil, they all have come to the website and downloaded and wanted to use it because they use it all the time, and it doesn't cost anything, so go ahead. But the actual thing is you wanted to go ahead, and the idea is everybody, all the other approaches we know for hypothetical indexes are based, the goal is to go to look for self-star, self-tuning, self-management, self-configuration research, okay? So the idea is, can we find a feasible index self-tuning strategy that does not require human intervention? The idea is, if some of this work is so easy, can we just leave the system do this work for us, and then the DBAs can think about, you know, situations that are much more complex, okay? And we know this is possible, okay? It's not that we're not far from there. So here is just the second part, but I will be going a little bit quicker. We have already something working. It's, let's say, close than perfect for version 7 of Postgres. And then, unfortunately, when we had done everything working at the end of version 7, we knew everything was changing for version 8, and it was not just a simple, you know, change, as everybody here knows. And we made like 3 or 4 years to be able to create only hypothetical index in version 8. Okay, the self-tuning thing is still not very, you know, reliable. But anyway, I can talk about what we did. The idea is we have implemented something which you call agent-based databases. The idea is to insert some code in with the agent technology underlying idea. And we could do it in many ways, like a layered architecture. You could do an agent system and keeping the DBMS as an external server. We can completely integrate the system. Every component of a DBMS can become an agent, have the intelligence of an agent, or something like a built-in architecture where some components, like we've done, are written with the agent idea. We had to create some heuristics too. What we mean by online is we want to follow what is going on with the system, with all the databases and the applications that are running. So the idea is we want to decide on the fly if it's time or not to create some specific index. Okay? The idea is many companies, they don't have any DBAs. Sometimes what happens is someone that knows a bit more about databases than the other, he goes there and try to work. But actually, nobody really knows what to do when there's a performance problem. So either they buy some services and call some tuning company that can come and solve all their problems, or they can do some of this work automatically. And this is the idea of having a self-tuning approach. We capture all the commands. We have to capture this, so we have another agent that just keep on looking what's going on and is keeping this a sample of what's going on in the in a database, an extra database I have. I have to estimate alternative indexing solutions. This is all done automatically, okay? So the idea is when I have an application and a database, I have to try out many different configurations with the hypothetical indexes. As this doesn't cost that much, I just try to configure the system many different times on the fly while the application is running. And with my heuristic, I can decide. Sometime I can say, okay, now the benefits are very good. The benefits are so good that the creation of that index is worth now. I can do it because The idea for now, for us, is not to create an index only for a specific query. We wait a little bit. Maybe this was just, you know, one given query, very specific, that was not that fine, that nice, and never comes up anymore. But if it still comes, you know, sometimes it's something more regular, we should be creating this, because the at the end, I will have good performances. Okay? So the idea is to have a design of indexes on the fly. I'm running on my time, so I will not discuss the idea of the whole heuristics, but the idea is called benefits, because we keep on track all the benefits that all the hypothetical index could be doing, keep giving for us for the database configuration. For those that give us good performances and the cost to create it is less than the performance we estimated to give, so we say to the system, okay, you can create it. Just drop the hypothetical structure and create it, the actual index automatically. Well, when we put something inside the code, any code, we have some problems. It's an intrusive approach. So some people say, okay, this is good, but not that good. For example, we changed for version 7 to version 8, and the approach we've done was not that good to follow the new version that came up. Okay? Well, the one good consequence is that there is no human intervention. We just keep on doing. We let go. And I can tell you the system behaves very well. The only thing is that we don't keep track of the search solution space. So we cannot create as much as indices that I wanted. Okay, I have to keep track of only the good ones. All right, and sometimes I can miss one. Well, for those interested in some development issues, you have used. A way to keep to develop agents using some framework proposed by Kendall and other colleagues is a layered approach. And inside Postgres, you had to do something like this. You had to have a queue, all the queries and requests, and the hours agent. He goes, he has some layers, and one of the layers keep tracks of the beliefs he has about the system. The reasoning is this the time, the good time to create it or not? I'm going to keep all the beliefs are my layer where I keep track of all the index, hypothetical index, and the costs and benefits it has. And the actual the actions is the layer where I get all the information that it's now time to create or not an index. Okay? Okay, I'm reaching the end. What are we doing right now? So first is what I just answered for the only question so far. We are doing fine-tuning on the statistics of hypothetical indexes, exactly to try to reach the most closer we can to the actual structures when they are created. We are also trying to decide better when it's time to create some given index. For example, from some TPCH benchmark we have tried, some of the queries are so heavy that they had to create the index beforehand. If not, it doesn't really help. So we had added some other extra features, like something we called evaluate query. So we can evaluate first what happens with the index, only regarding the plans. And if you see the cost is very, very high, above value, estimated value, we could create the index beforehand and then doesn't have to wait until the query takes too long to decide, no, now it's I should have created before. We are now looking for hypothetical plans, not only hypothetical indexes. We are, what means we capture the system queries and requests. We put this on the system outside the DBMS. We have a kind of canonical optimizer. We study what could help for the system outside the system, and then we give back some information to the DBMS to tell them what should be good to the system to add as a structure to help with improving performances. This is already working too, but still for only some prototypes. I'm working on materialized views too. Exactly like indexes, I can help a lot with some queries having materialized views. The idea is how to decide about them and also how to, when to create them. These two issues are go together. And we are working on this patch, not really a patch, and tests. We are working with all this we are doing so far with VLDBs and public benchmarks. So we're trying to get some more insights about the results we have. This is a list of things we have done so far in my group down in Brazil. The agent-based systems, the heuristics for index selection, hypothetical index. We have added the create drop, and now we have re-index automatic too. I can talk about this later on if someone is interested. And the hypothetical plans too. So just to tell you a bit of all the people working with me. These are the three more recent people that helped me also with the slides, and the other former students, and some of them are already that have their PhD and they're working many different places in the world. And these people are very good. I was lucky to have these people working and developing for me. And merci. Thank you. Muito obrigado. Questions? Yeah.
I have two questions, actually.
Sure.
One is, did you look at having a command to make a hypothetical index into a real index without needing to drop and recreate it?
I don't know if I got the question, please.
So, alter hypothetical index, make real.
I'm sorry, but
right now, the way that you have with a hypothetical index, if you have a hypothetical index,
yes,
and you decide that you want a real index with the same description,
yeah,
then you have to drop the hypothetical index,
yeah,
and create the real index.
Yes.
It seems like there ought to be a command to say,
just change it. I could do this. We just decided to do it this way. It's easier.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I thought it was something more complex.
Yeah, and the second, here's the complex question.
Okay, thank you.
When you're doing the automated detection of hypothetical indexes that you ought to have, for a complex schema,
yeah,
you're going to have multiple hypothetical indexes.
Yes.
Particularly if you have different queries against the same table.
Exactly, yeah.
So how do you avoid getting a lot of overlapping indexes created by this method?
I don't create any overlapping indexes, only on multiple attributes, multiple column. I wouldn't say these are overlapping indexes. These are different indexes. They can help different queries. And we are using known algorithms to create and suggest the potential hypothetical index I should use. And the idea is, what we do is to decide upon which are the good ones to create when the benefits are already good. So I haven't shown this so far. Maybe I can bring these results next year. But the idea is, we have tried out this self-tuning approach with our hypothetical index configuration and our heuristics. And what happened is, for example, on TPCC, I think maybe I have some results here. On TPCC benchmark, we have found out that our configuration, on one hand, we didn't create one of the indexes that the benchmark has suggested. And on the other hand, we had created another index that the benchmark people didn't suggest. So at the beginning, we say, oh my God, something's wrong. And then we try to give a close look at the indexes we created. And the first one we didn't create was an index with only 4 lines. Something very unusable. I don't know exactly why the people for the benchmark had suggested this index. Anyway, you saw there's really no use for that index. And the other one was an index on a composite columns, which usually people never think about it. It's hard to think about a 3, 4, 5 attributes index, right? That could be useful. And we had suggested a double or triple column index that had actually something like 30% of gain in performance when present in the catalog. So the idea is we haven't created any, what's the word you've used? Like a double overlapping index. We had created only the actual index. It was suggested for some good heuristic. The only overlap I could see is when you include more, you know, more or less columns. But these are really, I cannot consider these overlapping indexes. And the actual result is that we can go further than a DBA, a human DBA, looking at all the configuration I can have and on the fly. This is the actual goal we wanted to have, and this is very good.
When for self fine-tuning,
yep.
It means that it's going to create indexes?
It's going to create...
Automatically?
Automatically, yeah.
And what happens for very large tables when you index, that's going
to
take...
The cost to create it takes time.
Yes.
This is the actual question, and that's actually the first time I submitted a paper to some conference, an academic conference, telling I'm going to create indexes automatically. People say, "Who is the DBA who is going to let you? Who are you? Come on! I am the DBA. I know the system. I know everything, right?" And the question is, this is a good question. That's why we have good heuristics to decide when is the good time to do it. Okay, and the heuristic it has some. Costs, we consider how much it costs to create it on the fly. The system, I don't ask the system to stop. I want to create it when it's working. People are using it. And how much it costs, what's the benefit of having this index when the queries are also going on. So at a given moment, we have this cost at hand, and you say, okay, it's useful. Just do it. Even for some space of time, it's going to be not that good. But afterwards, you're going to get better performance. And this is the actual question every DBA has. Okay? But what he does is maybe, okay, I'm going to do this on Sunday, 2 a.m. You know, you decide some, you try to think about some special time to create it. But you can do this also. So the idea is you can leave the system to create everything automatically, or what we can do is to still use only the hypothetical index to know which are the good ones. Just keep this information for you. We have also another tool we just finished last year that you can check the hypothetical structures that are to be created pretty soon, and you say, okay, it's almost done. I can wait until Saturday night and do my creation, and nobody going to know about this. But the idea of creating automatically is for those companies, especially those small ones, that they don't have any DBA working. It's not an easy issue. I know many people that, you know, have worked with databases in companies. They don't know anything about creating index. What's the good index to create?
Even if you have a DBA.
Even if you have a DBA.
Some databases that have hundreds of tables.
Sure.
And trying to, the amount of time that's required to actually come up with indexing for all those tables.
Yeah, and actually it doesn't really matter. My answer for this, that person that told me, who is going to let you do it automatically? Okay, I say, when you have a real database like VLDB, many, many tables, you know, many, many indexes, how can you figure out you alone which is the best configuration? For sure, it's the best thing to do is to leave this to a software that can decide for you. But the software is, you have decided which is the intelligence, but he does the work alone. No, he's doing the work while you're thinking about something else. So just go. I was first.
How are you getting that list, that initial list of hypothetical indexes?
The initial?
The initial list of hypothetical indexes. Is it just single columns?
I started nothing in my hypothetical configuration, and I use a different algorithm that keeps track of all the... this for the automatic thing, right? For the what if we don't have anything, it's up to you, the DBA or whoever that can create and drop. You just do it.
I'm just curious. Okay, for the automatic.
For an automatic option, you have to capture the what's going on at the system. So you have to have a way to do it. We have built some, you know, something that goes and keeps track of all the requests are coming to the DBMS. And we keep track of all the attributes that are involved either in the select clause or in the where clause. And we keep track of all this, and then all these algorithms, they try to create all the possible hypothetical index that gives you good results. And then you keep track of this. And I give a moment for us, besides doing this, we have extra information that says the cost to create is X, and the benefit is Y. So when Y is above X, we say, okay, it's up to creation. But this is our heuristics. If someone comes up with another one, go ahead. I cannot say this is the best choice. It's just one choice so far. And this is an open research work, and people can help. Please, I'm sorry.
Do you support some kind of blacklisting?
Sorry? Do you support?
Excluding certain tables, I guess, or columns.
Excluding?
Yeah. Columns from indexing.
From the index?
Yeah.
Say, don't index this no matter what you find.
Yes, even if it looks reasonable,
don't index.
No.
No, I just use the same algorithm that thinks about the what are the possible good indexes to create. Just, this could be a good idea. If you know something special about the system, yeah.
Does the current index algorithm that selects which indexes to create, does it take into account the amount of what updates and inserts that table might be receiving?
Might be receiving?
Or that it has been receiving?
It has been receiving, yes. And we estimate the workload would be about the same, which might not be true, right?
So that would be a potential improvement for the algorithm to say, if this table receives a whole lot of updates, we want to have a higher cost benefit for adding an index than this table that hardly ever gets updated.
For the past, I can do this. The only problem is I cannot do this for the future. For the past, I can do this. I can give more, you know, more points, you know, more costs and benefits to those that have considered more those structures in multiple cases, right? But the only problem I have, and this is the problem everybody has, is they don't know what's coming up in the future. So, but then I think there's no solution so far. If it's a regular workload, like TPCC, okay. But if you have a very heavy query sometimes coming up, nobody can do anything. It's just you have to pre, you have to correct structures persistent in your catalog.
You could provide a way for an operator to specify a certain way hash.
Not yet, but yeah. Actually, it's a pretty good question. I appreciate it. It's exactly the fine tune of how can we go further with the ideas we can have and configure the whole system, not only the structures. Like considering the structures are there and I can create and drop automatically, why not maybe go further and fine tune this? Yeah, sure. Second question. Another good idea. What we do so far is we test, for our tests we do is we start with no indexes, not even primary keys, and you know, and we let the system go. It takes about a half an hour, okay, to decide upon the good indexes, the basic indexes. But if something exists already and I want to pretend it doesn't, I haven't tried this yet. But should be.
I mean, we gather statistics on index usage, right? I mean, so you can use that to figure out whether you've got. And there are actually, I think, checkpostcrypt.io or maybe Gaussian's magic curl script for checking over things. One of those or both will do that. It's got abstract queries that detect if you've got indexes that aren't really in use.
Yeah, I'm just thinking how to provide it as feedback.
Okay.
Well, should be a good idea too. It's well, we still have lots of things to try, but the thing is, to start, we need those hypothetical structures. If not, you have to recreate the index. I don't know who it was first.
So, how do you see this in the future being part of production distribution? Do you expect people to use this in production or just research?
I would love. This is not a research only research. I have a research on this. Like regarding how to create my heuristics, you know, there's all, you know, I submit papers also for SIGMOD and VLB and all the other only academic like events. But my what I wanted is really is for a long time already is to have people using this for real. If it could be a part of PostgreSQL next version, I would be very happy, because the thing is, people ask me every time I present this to friends at work with Postgres in practice. They say, "Can I use it?" I say, "Sure. It's not mine. It's just a work. We decided to use PostgreSQL. Well, I don't have to explain this in a forum like Postgres PGCon, but you know, it's our favorite DBMS, open source and free, and we wanted to do something to contribute to the community, and this is our way to do it." And I didn't know. I tried to find out if someone was working on this, on this community, and nothing. I didn't find anyone. So I presented these ideas five years ago, maybe more, 2004. And at that time, I got an answer, maybe, who asked you about this hypothetical issues? If this doesn't belong to our discussion list, who cares? And I really got mad at the beginning with this answer, but okay, I will insist, let's try it again. And then I've been presenting this to some people, and people are using. I know some people that are using PostgreSQL with this hypothetical structures inside, in practice. They are okay. But this is not the official, it's just, if it's official or not, I really don't care. I just want to to do something people like. If people like it, great, great. But and if people like want to contribute to us and help us to do something even better, even better. Just tell me. Excuse me. Yeah.
Does this tool recommend the class of index?
A class of index?
Yeah. For instance, a B tree or a bitmap versus a B tree.
Ah, okay. No, not yet. I just create the indexes. I think it's all B trees, and I don't. I'm not considering different types so far. We have thought about this, but we didn't want to go that far. We wanted to have a stable version for the, regular indexes, which are B trees, B plus trees, right? But this is also something you want to check, because this is a good idea for some specific queries. It could be different. Yep, it's a good idea too. Yep. Next question. So.
I just wondered, any of the people using this, are they doing, like, this feature to me gets me insanely excited, because for me to create an index sometimes it takes me days on some of my data warehousing stuff. And to be able to just do this, and even, you know,
for zero cost.
It's like a fraction of my production environment. So yeah. I can do it in my main environment, but it doesn't always behave like in my production environment, because it's a fraction. Like, I want to run out and put this in production practically tomorrow. Are people using it that way?
Yeah.
Especially in data warehousing, big.
No, nothing special. I know. I have a friend of mine. He's working with a big databases, and he didn't know which. He had exactly the same problem. He said, "How do I start thinking about my indexes without charging the whole system too much? Trying out create and drop all the time." And when he watched the presentation in Brazil last year, he said, "Okay, I want to do this. When can I start?" They said, "Okay, go ahead, download it." And then try out. And he said, well, so far he was satisfied. So, but not specifically for some, you know, data warehousing, or it's so general. It's just it's something. It's simple and also effective for some people. I hope for people that has this effective problem, the problem in their work. I'm sure this helps a lot, and you don't have to have any fear. It's just create and drop. It doesn't cost anything. Hypothetical index doesn't cost anything. If you don't want to do anything automatically, you can still do the first part of my talk, which is create and drop at your decision. You see, nothing happens. You just create. You can, if you use the explain hypothetical, you see something. If not, it's like nothing happened in your system. So please do it. I appreciate all the feedbacks you can do. Yeah.
Maybe it's on the site, but just wondering if you considered putting this in a public Git repository or something that can be tracked against Postgres mainline, just to keep your effort a little lower, like get patches from people to help when they added a Postgres feature.
Yeah, we wanted to do this, but actually last year at the Postgres event I had in Brazil, I discussed with people this, and I say, let's first present there and see what people there think about these ideas. If it's okay, you know, a source forward and things like that, or maybe even for people in the Postgres community. I don't want to keep this for me. It's in our website just because it was easier, but, you know.
Yeah. Looking at this, I want to run out and put a production again tomorrow, right? But same here. Again, I'm also looking at 9. I'm thinking, okay, well, I want to put 9 in production too, so now I'm going to have to weigh these. And if it were...
Actually, I don't know what's the next steps to do this, but what I really wanted is for first is to know if people like the ideas, just to, you know, well, let's try start using it, because first you have to use it and see if it works or not. And then after, it gives us kind of work to put this, you know, public available, you know, all this documentation and all the explanation you have to come with. But I think this is next step. But if someone wants to help me with doing this, please do it. even, you know, Sometimes I have, you know, I have some students, they are very good in developing, but they're not very good in English. And so I asked them, can you put this? Oh, no, I can't, oh, I can put it in Portuguese, but I cannot write, you know, I cannot explain everything I've done in English or in French or whatever. So sometimes I keep it in our website, our local website, this one. But everything is there. Publications we have done, presentations, previous presentations, everything is there. So it's not mine. It's Postgres. So just a contribution. I can try to organize this a little bit better. Yeah?
I'm sorry if I missed this, but what version of Postgres did you get?
So far, 8. 8.
Eight.
8.4. I have it at the website. Yeah. This is the tutorial and the download. We have version 7 and version 8.43. Version 7 is the one, I know some people are still using it. And for version 7, the automatic index creation is just perfect. It's amazing. It's really nice to see it working. If you don't know anything about the system, just let go, and it creates everything you need on the fly. But for version 8, we couldn't do it so far. It's a bit hard to do it. We are trying, but it takes a little while to do it. Yeah. I should have.
Because if you put something on here saying that you released it under the PostgreSQL license,
what I do is
it's much easier for us to consider.
Yeah, but see that it's written here, plug in to Postgres, which means you have to download the Postgres from Postgres page.
But your contributions can be under a different license.
But what I'm saying is we would not be able to incorporate your work.
Yeah.
Ah,
okay.
So that's probably, it sounds like that's something that you.
If you have 5 minutes after this talk, you can tell me what I have to do. I just change this website right away. I have.
Motivation. 5 minutes.
Yeah, you do? Okay, I appreciate. No, it's really, everybody knows. We have so many things to do. It's even 5 minutes, sometimes we don't find it free. So. I really appreciate all the help you can do to me, you know, to just put this as more available we can do it. I don't know what's the good word to use, but, you know, the idea is please use it and contribute and oh, some question back there.
Do you have a library that you can install as a source?
I can't hear for him.
Do you have a binary package to install as a distributed source?
Good question. I don't know. My students they have made this available. I think you have everything here. You have both, and you have papers and you have test results and soon, but you have some down here. I have some publications. You know, some papers have presented, and the data we have used to show. How the results we get, how we get there, and we are trying to do our best, but it's still a long way to reach the optimal status. Everybody hungry now?
Yeah.
So I appreciate your questions. Thank you very much.